Hello, Faith Builders. It is good to be back in touch with you, even in this manner. Today is Saturday, March the 21st, 2020, and by now you've learned that Hillside Christian Church will not be meeting, nor our Faith Builders class will not be meeting for an indeterminate amount of time. We sent an email for everyone on the Faith Builders email addresses in order to contact you and kind of let you know what was going on with the class. Again, we've said that if anybody needs help, even for shopping or something, we've got several volunteers that have consented to help out with that. If you need, you or an immediate family member need any financial assistance to get through this, well, the class should be able to help a little bit, and so please let us know, and we'll try to help out as much as we can while we're apart. I decided to go ahead and record the final lesson that was in our series that we've been doing on the names of God, Hashem, or the name. I didn't really want to wait for who knows how long before we get back together and then try to do the last lesson in the series. It just didn't seem like that would be a wise thing. So I thought what I would do is to go ahead and record this, and it will be posted on Seed on Good Soil and be with the PDF file with all the slides that have the scriptures and everything, and go ahead and finish this series and conclude that. So that will be better than waiting. So from the sound studio in our house, which is otherwise known as the front bedroom, let's conclude the series on the names of God, Hashem. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Almighty God, we thank you so much that you are our God and you are in control of all things. You are El Shaddai Almighty. We thank you during this time that there's so many things happening and such chaos and a lot of fear. We know that we can depend on you. We know that we can lean on you. And so, God, I just pray to you that that you put all of this to a quick end and have it be so abrupt that the fearful in the world will have to admit that it was God that did it. Someone outside of time, some supernatural power that affected the end of all of this chaos. God, our hearts are that your name is glorified in all things and that the world comes to you in powerful ways, whether it's a handful or whether it's thousands, whoever it is that needs to know you and your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, we pray for the comfort and peace of all of our class members for sure, and please God, protect them and shelter them, and we know that you can do all things. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that makes it all possible. Amen. Well, from last week, we saw one of the names for God was Tzaddik. The righteous, God, the righteous one, or the just one. He also, in Jeremiah, states that the Messiah is going to be known as the Lord our righteousness, Yahweh Tzidkenu, Lord our righteousness. Through Christ, it says in Corinthians, that we become the very righteousness of God. So the only way that we can be righteous in God's sight is through his Son. Faith in him is what it's always been. It was credited to Abraham as being righteous because of his faith in God, and we become the very righteousness of God through Christ. So God is Tzaddik, righteous. Then we saw that his holiness, Kodesh, from 2 weeks ago, demands judgment. Holiness demands judgment between good and evil at some point. God has temporarily pushed that out, postponed it until a later time, so that more people can come to Christ and to know Him. But God's holiness demands judgment. But we can rely on the fact that God's judgment is perfectly just in all things because He is perfectly righteous, tzaddik. So the holiness and His righteousness work in conjunction together with His judgment. The next name that we saw was Yahweh Yireh. Yireh, the Lord will see, the Lord will provide. And this comes mainly out of Genesis 22, where Abraham takes his son Isaac up to be sacrificed. And he told his son that the Lord will provide, Yireh, the sacrifice. He will see to it. He will see a need and do something. So he called him Yahweh Yireh. So we know that God provides all things. And Jesus even tells us that the Father knows the things that we need even before we ask Him, because God is omnipotent, He is omniscient, He is eternal, and so He knows what we need even before we ask. Now then, there was a question from March the 8th class about the difference between Yahweh Yireh, who sees and provides, He sees needs and provides it. The Lord will see to it. It's an action of provision. And then there's another name that is given to God, El Roy. This is out of Genesis 16. So turn over to Genesis 16:10. And for those of you who shop at Walmart to get your dog food, this is not Ol Roy. This is El Roy, R-O-I. So get that straight before we continue. So Genesis 16 has Hagar out in the wilderness about to give birth to her son, and God has promised that He is going to bless her son Ishmael. And the angel of the Lord comes to her out in the wilderness, and he tells her, this is Genesis 16:10. The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. Ishmael means God hears. Ishmael, God hears. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. She gave this name to the Lord, Yahweh, who spoke to her. You are the God, El, who sees me, El Roy. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Bir Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Bir is well, Lahai, living one, Roy. So the well of the living one who sees me. If you look into the Hebrew, Roy is like my seer, my God sees me. And in this context, it's like God's gaze upon her or regard for her, His understanding. He sees her situation like an empathy. So El Roy, God sees. And then, so that would be a little bit different from Yireh, who sees and provides, the provider of a need. So in the Genesis 16 with Hagar, we have El Roy, God sees, and Ishmael, God hears. Pretty interesting to see that. Now then, there's another word that is a derivative of Roy, and it is Rohi, R-O-H-I, Rohi, which is shepherd. So in Psalm 23, the Lord is my Rohi, shepherd. The shepherd is to watch over, or Rohi, as God watches over us. So as a shepherd watches over the sheep for protection, God is Rohi, the shepherd also. And then, of course, we know that Jesus claimed to be, I am the good shepherd, which we know fits Him perfectly. So that was from 2 weeks ago, and about the question between Yireh and Roy. And then from 2 weeks ago, the last name that we look at was Yahweh Nisi, the banner. We saw several times where God raises a banner for the exiles, the Israelites who are in dispersion all over the world, to bring them home. So he's raising a banner from Zion in Jerusalem to call in the exiles to return. And then, of course, Jesus is called the banner also, the banner of salvation for all who come to him. So he is like a banner to the entire world to draw people unto himself. So let's continue on with the last part of our Hashem, the names of God. And there's a few names that occur only once, maybe twice, all the way through Scripture. They're no less descriptive of the attributes of God, but there's only one or two occurrences. Roi is one, Rohi, shepherd, is another one. And then the other one is Rapha, the God who heals, or Yahweh heals, Rapha. These are, Rapha is found in like Psalm 147 is one of the best places to find that. So today I wanted to touch on a name that is just not very understood in many different ways, and that is found in Exodus 20. And if you're following with the PDF slides, this is on page 70, or slide 70. And this is the name of God, Kana, jealous. In Exodus 20, starting with verse 4, these are the Ten Commandments that he's given to Moses. And it says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." So he tells them in Exodus 20, verse 4 through 6, 10 commandments, and he starts out with, "There are no other gods before me. There, you will not have any idols. Don't worship any other. I am a jealous Kana God." So the way this reads is, "The Lord Yahweh, your Elohim, the Lord your God, am a Kana El, a jealous God." Now then, just to point out in verses 5 and 6, if you look at you know, one of the biggest complaints throughout history against Jewish faith and the Christian faith is that how could God deliver punishment to subsequent generations for sins of the fathers? Why would people be guilty for the sins of their fathers? Now, then, one thing I want to point out is that the sins of the fathers are punished only to three and four generations, but yet his love is to a thousand generations. And so you have to look at this in the context and ask your question, where is God's priority? Is it on punishment or is it on love? Is it on the sins or is it on a person's heart? Well, if he's only punishing the sins to three and four generations, which you can understand the sins of a father being carried out, for instance, the predisposition to alcoholism or spousal abuse is carried on because that's what children see, and so it can be carried for several generations. But yet his love is promised to a thousand generations for those who obey, love and obey him. So God's focus, his priority is on a person's heart and their love for him and his love extending to a thousand generations. So let's go on with Exodus 34. Since you're in Exodus, go over to 34. And verse 10. This is the covenant God is making. So Exodus 34:10. "Then the Lord said, I'm making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I command you today. I will drive out before you the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Be careful not to make a treaty with those who live in the land where you are going, or they will be a snare among you. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and cut down their Asherah poles. Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, Kana is a jealous god, Kana El. So he says, I'm making this covenant with you. I'm bringing you into this land. And other people all over the world are going to see how I work with the nation of Israel and come to know me through you. And he says, I'm going to drive out the inhabitants of this land, the promised land, and that's exactly what he did. But he says, do not worship any other god. Don't turn away from me, because my name, Yahweh, whose name is Kana, is a Kana El, Kana God. So what we see is that his connotation, this jealousy, is likened to a desertion of a marriage covenant. Fidelity in a marriage demands a pure bride and exclusive devotion, not one who runs after other lovers. And that's exactly what God is telling them. Don't go after these other nations or their gods, he said, because I'm a jealous God. Now then, in our lives, in human terms, the trait of jealousy has a very bad connotation for humanity. Even Oprah Winfrey said that she began her turn from Christianity when she read these very passages where God says, I'm a jealous God. And Oprah Winfrey says, well, her God would never be jealous. That's a degrading trait. And so when you're looking at this, you have to realize jealousy is a degrading trait for humans, because that is for one sinner to be jealous to another sinner. That is not a noble trait. However, for perfect, holy God, he can be kana or jealous, because we humans, all of us, we've all been unfaithful to someone in our lives. We humans, all of us, have been unfaithful to someone in our lives at some point. And I'm not speaking just of marriage unfaithfulness. We have broken promises. We have hurt friends and family. So we have no right to be jealous of another, because that's one sinner being jealous of another sinner. God, who created all things, who sustains all things, who provides all things, who is greater than all things, and who is always perfectly faithful, has every right to be kana or jealous, because anytime a man turns to a lesser god or substitutes something weaker for Almighty God, then God has a right to be jealous of our turned faith, our turned love from him. So God rightly demands exclusive devotion and is a jealous kana God when we turn from him. So that is Kana El. So let's go on to the next name that we have, and that is Yahweh Shema. This is slide or page 71 on the slides if you're following those. So if you'll turn over to the book of Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, the very last chapter, the very last verse. So the last words of the last verse are, the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema. The Lord is there. So the last chapters of Ezekiel, God has been giving Ezekiel the detailed plans for a new city and a new temple, the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And all these details are much larger than the existing city, certainly larger than the first or second temples that were built, but yet it's all smaller than the new Jerusalem that's described in the book of Revelation in the last chapters. But the last verse of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 48:35, is, and the name of the city from that time on will be, the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema. So that he's going to say that the very presence of God in the city, in the temple, reflects the final restoration of all things whenever God restores the entire universe, the entire world, back to what was originally intended in the Garden of Eden. And so that's why in Revelation 21, John sees in his vision, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So that is Yahweh Shema, his omnipresence that will be with us for eternity. With us in his very presence, the Lord is there, Yahweh Shema. So let's look at the next name, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. So turn back to Judges, the book of Judges, Joshua, Judges. So about, should be seventh book of the Bible, Joshua, Judges 6. Judges 6. So in these verses, Gideon is being prepared to go up against the Midianites, and he expresses his fear in verse 15. He says, but Lord, Gideon asks, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. So I'm the least of the least, God, and you're wanting me to go up against the Midianites. God tells him, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So he tells Gideon, don't fear, I will be with you. And then God gives him a sign. So verse 16, he says, I will be with you. Then God gives Gideon a sign in verse 17. Now I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Verse 22, he says, when Gideon realized it, that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, The Lord is Peace, Yahweh Shalom. To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abizarites. So the absence of fear, Yahweh Shalom, it's do not be afraid. The confidence of living, you're not going to die, he tells him. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is Yahweh Shalom, the peace. And it is, like I say, the absence of fear, do not be afraid. Seems like this day and time that we're going through, this is a wonderful thing to lean on, as Yahweh Shalom, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Jesus himself said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And of course, not as the world gives us, because that's a different kind of peace. Jesus' peace is an eternal peace, something that we can look beyond the pain of the moment and into the joy of eternity. We were held as slaves to the fear of death. So as God is saying, it's the absence of fear. Do not be afraid. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Why? Because I'm the first and the last. You will not see death. So that relieves us from our fear of death. He is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. And then the last one that I want to look at is no way least. In fact, it's absolutely critical, is found on slide or page number 73, and it is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel with us, El, God. And the first instance where we see this is in 2 Chronicles. So turn to Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 13. 2 Chronicles 13. This is King Abijah of the southern kingdom of Judah, and he's making a speech to King Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. And so this is during the divided kingdoms, and so this is the Judah king talking to the Israel king. Verse 10, he says, as for us, the Lord is our God, Yahweh is our Elohim, and we have not forsaken him. The priests who serve the Lord are sons of Aaron, and the Levites assist them. Every morning and evening they present burnt offerings and fragrant incense to the Lord. They set out the bread on the ceremonially clean table and light the lamps on the gold lampstand every evening. We are observing the requirements of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. So he's comparing what Judah is doing with what Israel is doing. He's saying, the Lord is our God, Yahweh Elohim, and we have the priests to prove it. They're carrying out the sacrifice just as God demanded. But you have forsaken him. And then he winds up by saying in verse 12, God is with us. Emmanuel, he is our leader. So he is referencing God as God is with us, and in this connotation is he's our captain. He's on our side with us. So he is there alongside of us, fighting with us. So in this use of it, Emmanuel Elohim, God is like our captain. He's on our side. Then in Isaiah 8, so turn over to the book of Isaiah, go past Psalms. Isaiah 8 is the next time that these names are used. And it's used twice here in different connotations. So in Isaiah 8, God is sending the Assyrians against the northern kingdom of Israel to punish them for forsaking him, just like King Abijah had said. And he's talking about the Assyrians are going to overrun Israel and then even try to continue to flow into the southern kingdom of Judah, but that Judah is going to be protected. So let's pick it up in Isaiah 8 and the last part of verse 7. This overrun of Assyria, it will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep on into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands, prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. So just in these verses, there's two different uses. He's talking about, before it covers your land, the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel, cry Emmanuel, as in a proper name, a proper name for God. So the very being of God and his presence, not just God is on our side, but present with us. O Emmanuel, a proper name for God being with him. And then in verse 10, it goes back to, for God is with us, Emmanuel. You can plan, but it won't stand. Because why? Well, because God is on our side. God is with us, Emmanuel. So those are the uses of that. And then, of course, in chapter 7, just the chapter before that, is the wonderful prophecy of the Messiah that we know was seen as fulfilled prophecy with the coming of Christ. Because Isaiah 7:14 is where it's used again. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So we see that in Isaiah, 750 years before Christ, is the coming of the Messiah with the name God with us, Emmanuel. So then that follows up with Matthew 1:23. Where the prophecy is seen to be fulfilled, and it says all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So even the writers of the New Testament knew that that was fulfilled prophecy, and that's the verse they used to prove the coming of the Messiah. And in Matthew 1:21, it says that you give him the name Jesus or Yeshua. So one of the questions that always comes up is that, well, was that prophecy really fulfilled? Because Isaiah said, you're going to call him Emmanuel, and then the angel tells Joseph that you're going to give him the name Yeshua. So why did they not have the same names? Well, Emmanuel is the character of Jesus. He is God with us. The name Yeshua, salvation, means, you know, salvation with us, God with us, salvation through God being with us. So you bring it down to the simple statement, unless God was Emmanuel, God with us, he could not have been Yeshua, salvation. Again, unless God was Emmanuel, God with us, he could not have been Yeshua, our salvation. And we know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. So that shows, again, throughout Scripture, God's eternal desire to be with his creation, in the presence of his creation, with mankind, who was made in his image. From the Garden of Eden, who Adam and Eve were with him in his presence, then they sinned and were cast out of the presence of Holy God. But then God turns right around and says, but I still want to be with you. I want to be with you as close as I can without killing you through my holiness. So he was on the mountain with Moses, and all the people saw him. He was in a pillar of fire and a cloud, as close as he could be without killing. Then he said, then I want you to build me a tabernacle because I want to be with you. So he was in the Holy of Holies above the ark. Then in the temple, he came to be with him, with them, his Shekinah, glorious presence in the temple. And then Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, walking among his humans, Emmanuel. Then as we know, through Jesus, Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in man. So we see this constant attempts of God, his constant plan to be with his creation, and how close can I be to you? That's God's will, because we know in the future that God and man are going to be together again in his presence. Emmanuel, God with us. So the last couple of slides in the file are all of the names of God that we have studied. And as I've said before, you know, whenever you're trying to describe something that is beyond description, you're using human words that are just ways that it's our attempt to try to describe what is beyond words, beyond description. And even as deep and rich as the Hebrew language is, even the Hebrew word cannot come close to a complete description of a single attribute of God because of his immensity, his vastness, his eternal and infinite nature is beyond finite words and thoughts. So the important thing is that we keep trying because it's our efforts to describe who God is. It is through those that we come closer to him. We understand just a little bit more about him, maybe, and his immensity. And it's that knowledge of him that continues to build him in our hearts and souls in his temple. So we reach out to him the best we can by studying his word, by coming together and worshiping, lifting him up, bringing him praise and glory. And as we study God and as we read his word, we get closer to him through all these things. Help us to never quit doing that. Help us to never quit wanting to get closer. So that's why we come together. That's why we study his word. That's why it's such a joy to be in this class, in the Faith Builders class, and to be with you to study his word. I miss it whenever we can't have questions and examples and your wisdom and your feedback as we're going through class, because that's what makes it so wonderful to be in fellowship with you. So during this time, we'll do the best we can and continue to study on your own time and to maybe listen to these lessons and get closer to God. So let's close with a prayer, and I'm going to use these names. So let's bow. Dear God, El, we glorify Hashem, the name. We glorify Hashem. You alone are Elohim. You're God in three persons. You're one God, yet a plural nature, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Elohim. You are our Adonai. You are Lord of all things, seen and unseen. You are the Lord of our hearts and our lives. Everything about us is under your lordship. We know that you can do all things because you are El Shaddai, God Almighty. You are unlimited in power. And compared with that, you are also unlimited in wisdom. Everything in your wisdom, you have the power to carry out. You are El Shaddai. Besides you, there is no other. There are no gods above you. You are El Elyon, God Most High. There is no God that compares with the Most High God, El Elyon. You are our Tsur, our rock. You are immovable, eternally faithful, dependable. You are rock solid. Dear Lord, you are holy God. You are Kodesh. No one is holy besides you. In fact, we are capable of any holiness only because you choose to make us holy. We are incapable of being holy in any measure apart from you. You are Kodesh. Because your holiness demands judgment between good and evil, you are also tzaddik, righteous. Your judgments are always perfect, always tzaddik. You are the Lord, our righteousness, Yahweh Tzidkenu. We thank you, God, because you provide all things. You are Yireh, Yahweh Yireh. The Lord provides. You know what we need even before we ask, and you provide. You, God, are our banner, our Nisi, Yahweh Nisi, raised high, calling all humanity to yourself. You are a banner for all humanity. Thus, all men are without excuse. God, you alone are right to be Kana, jealous. All creation flows from you. When our love turns to created things rather than the Creator, you alone are Kana, jealous. We know in our hearts that you are Shema, that you are always there, you are omnipresent, you are always close. You draw near to the broken hearts. You are Shema, you are there, even in these times of chaos and trial, Yahweh, Shema. And in your nearness, you bring us Shalom, peace. You are Yahweh Shalom, not the peace that the world gives us, but your peace, Shalom. And above all, you are Yahweh, the great and only I am. You are. You have always been. You are. You will always be. Yahweh. Your self-given sacred name. You are Yahweh. We worship and glorify your sacred name. And to make yourself intimately known, you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. Your word became flesh and dwelt among us. You became like one of us to die for us, to save us. You are Yahweh, you are Yeshua, because you are our Savior. We desire to know you more. We want to be closer to you. We try to see the pieces of this mystery, the vastness, the immensity of our God, Yahweh. Amen. Thank you for listening today. We'll continue to be in prayer and to help each other through these tough times, and pray that God will end all of this chaos abruptly and that more people will see what has been done and point to the one true God who did it. Thank you for all your prayers and love and support.